Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
Thank you for joining us in worship today.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Good morning and welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Boylston, Illinois. Welcome to those who are watching us at home. I'm Pastor Nate Oliver, and we are still celebrating Easter around here. It is the second Sunday of Easter, and we are so excited to be gathered together once again to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the hope and the joy that it gives for all of us. Today, we are excited to have our men's choir that will be singing Liberty Service. And also, we have a guest organist this morning. So, up there on the organ booth is Brad Ehrman this morning. And he's filling in because Kathy and Lauren are both unavailable today. So, we thank you for being here, Brad. And we thank you for learning our complicated Lutheran liturgy for the last couple days. We are going to follow Divine Service Setting 4 today. That begins on page 203. I want you to please stick as we begin with the invocation. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? God's word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God in one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins, and lead us to a place of safety. Almighty God, in His mercy, He has given His Son to God for you, and for His sake, forgive you all of your sins, as He called our names for the Christ. By His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn now to the intro, which is printed for you on the inside of your bulletin. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Glory in His holy name. Seek the Lord in His strength. Remember the wondrous works that He has done. He remembers His covenant forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as He was in the beginning, and is now, and will be forever. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation.
Just a reading to us in the first chapter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen in the darkness, which we have touched, and have touched on many mysteries of the Word of God. Life was made manifest, and we have seen and testified to the proclaimed to the Word of God, which was with the Father, was made manifest to us. That which we have seen, we heard, and proclaimed also to you. So that you may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is a message we have heard from the beginning of the creation, that God is not in any of you. There is no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him, but blood of Jesus, the Son, that saves for my sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My children, I write these things to you, so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin,
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, Lord. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Then the disciples were glad saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in His hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into His side, I will never believe." Just days later, His disciples were in Samaria, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here to see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered Him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Jesus. And now, having heard the Word of God, we join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. This morning, we will do so using the words of the Nicene Creed. We confess together, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, from the peace, the ugly suffering, constantly as the drones, the little mermaid, before it is turned into the famous Disney movie, and also the story of the emperor's new clothes. Not to be confused with the emperor's new groove, that's a different Disney movie, but the story we're going to talk about is the emperor's new clothes. This is going to help us understand a little bit more about what St. John is talking about in the book of history. A lot of us are probably familiar with the basic plot of the emperor's new clothes, but I just want to give you a brief plot summary so that we're all on the same page. Basically, at the beginning of the story, you have an emperor, and this emperor is tricked into believing that he can acquire these beautiful, expensive clothes made out of very special material. And magic material, which he is told can only be seen by someone who is great enough and intelligent enough. So then, when they make these clothes, allegedly, and they bring these clothes to him, he can't see them at all, because in fact they're not really there. But he can't admit that, because he thinks the only reason he can't see them is because he must not be great enough. He must not be intelligent. So they pretend to put these clothes on him, and he decides he's going to have a big parade, gather huge crowds, and he's going to show off these new clothes. And that's what he does. He goes and parades around naked. He thinks he's wearing clothes, but he's not. Everybody in the crowd can see this plainly right in front of their faces. But what you hear from the people in the crowd is how beautiful these clothes are, how wonderful these clothes are. Everybody goes along with this mockery, this deception, except for one little boy who just blurts out and everybody can see plainly, the emperor has no clothes. And then all of a sudden, the lie is exposed. The deception goes away. But the instantaneous, the emperor continues on with the parade. This seems to be his pride, but it's easier for him to just continue to go on pretending rather than to admit that he has been fooled. So that's pretty much the gist of the story. It's a story that gets us thinking about humanity's propensity to lie, or at least to go along with something that's clearly untrue. If we happen to believe that admitting the actual truth might be a little or might bring us some sort of negative consequences. Really, what this is, Hans Christian Andersen is giving us a lesson in group faith, which certainly was the issue becoming an issue in the 1800s when the story was first written. But of course, now with time and technology and things like social media, this has only been made worse in our own decades. It's gotten to the point where we might wish desperately that we could be like that young boy in the story who could just see what's clearly happening in front of us and just say what we think. But we worry that if we do that, we might offend somebody or we might get somebody mad at us. So that fear often will silence us. So that's why we come up with these phrases like, you just gotta go along to get along, right? Which is essentially saying, you gotta be comfortable with lying to yourself and everybody else around you if you want to fit in. But we don't like the way that sounds, so we say to ourselves, you gotta go along to get along. That's one thing when you're talking about a fairy tale about an emperor parading around his birthday suit. But if we look at this epistle reading, the sermon text here, we look at the way that John writes in the first chapter of his epistle, we see how this sort of thing played out in our everyday life. This passage is a clear reminder to us that lying to ourselves, going along with the world's group thing, when it comes to what's light and what's darkness, what's true, what's false, what's sin, what's not. These aren't very good strategies for anybody who desires to live God's fishing life of faith and repentance, because, well, a big part of that life is not going along with the rest of the world, not going along to get along with this story. John says in verse 6 here, he says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie. Do not practice the truth. So for us, even outwardly agreeing with the things that this dark world considers to be true and good, those things would not be compatible with our very being, with our discipleship with Jesus Christ. We know this world is constantly parading things in front of us, trying to get us to just kind of like go along with it. Saying the same thing to us that the world, that the men and the fairy tales say to the emperor, that if you really want to see, you got to be great, you got to be intelligent, otherwise you're not going to see the beauty of these things. So we see what gets paraded in front of us as the world gathers these big crowds. We cheer for things. We cheer for sexual immorality, what we call it, wow! We cheer for greed. Market capitalism! We cheer for what we call freedom of choice. We cheer for idolatry, what we call diversity, inclusion. We can lie to ourselves all day long about what's plainly right in front of our face, but it doesn't change the fact that the emperor has no clue. Just like how it's not very easy to look in the mirror and be honest about what we see there. But we know that we have fallen short. We know that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful conditions, what we said earlier in the liturgy. It's basically luck. We are in this 12-step recovery program, and addiction for us is sin. Right? We have that old Adam dwelling within us constantly. And what's the first step to recovery? Admitting that you have a problem. So it's simply saying, out loud, I'm a poor, miserable sinner. We struggle to do that, but we strive to do that. That's why we begin our worship services with our confession of sins, just like we did a few moments ago. It's not because as Lutherans we have this sick obsession with sin, and we want everybody who comes to worship with us to be miserable as they do so. That's not the point. But the point is that by being honest about the bad stuff, it's actually what that leads to the good stuff. Because look at the way John puts it with these words here, which are very familiar to us. It should be because we just have church all the time. Say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what John is essentially saying here? He says that we can basically have our kids and eat it too. We can be completely honest about our situation, right? We can tell the truth. We can say, well, we're like the emperor who's wearing no clothes. We can say it out loud. And we can say that without any fear of punishment or retribution whatsoever from God, because we know that Christ has already paid for our sins through his sacrificial death on the cross. That's why John says, the blood of Jesus is sung. God does not leave us naked and exposed in our shame, in our sin, when we confess our sins to him. But in the absolution, God wraps us up. He clothes us with righteousness of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit through his peace and grace. There are three ways Holy Spirit. He places a spiritual robe of righteousness upon us in baptism. He makes us saints, whose new clothes are made white in the blood of the Lamb. Thirdly, he also does what he's about to do for us once again, which is to be honest, giving us his son's body and blood to eat and to drink. Invites us to the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom. And this is a foretaste of that feast to come. When we come to the Lord's table, the white baptismal robes that have already been placed upon us are then all of a sudden turned into wedding garments. So that now, not only are we not left naked, but actually our souls are dressed to the nines in Christ. Even greater than the greatest earthly heaven. You can't see these clothes. You can't see these spiritual clothes, but unlike in the fairy tale, this is not a trick. It really is the way that the Lord sees us, clothed with the holiness and righteousness of Christ. And we pray that in time, this is how the world will see us too, not that we need to draw a whole bunch of attention to ourselves for our own sake or anything like that, but our prayer is that it would be obvious that there's just something different about us as Christians. We don't just get drawn into all of the fruits and all of the temptation to go along with everyone. But if we have these new clothes that go with us everywhere we go, that's going to make us look and act and think differently than everybody else. That's not a bad thing. Even though at times it does cause others to raise eyebrows, and maybe even upset some people, we as a church are willing to stick out with this word. We are willing to follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We go along with Him so that now we get along with God. Because it's in Him, it's Him alone, where our joy is made complete. In His most holy and precious name. May the peace of God, which comes to all of us, guard and keep your hearts and minds in truth. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. First of all, we continue to pray for bodies that expire. Who has been hospitalized with a number of these weeks? It appears likely that the body will be moving into a new care facility soon. We also will continue to pray for Kim Schneider. He has been hospitalized again, this time with heart issues. He is going to be undergoing some testing. We lift up in prayer today. We continue to pray for Daryl Beachum, who is being coming home after his recent heart surgery next week. Also, Doug Obermeyer, who had successful rotator cuff surgery, which is back from recovery. We have upcoming surgery for Charlie Spread. Charlie will be having another surgery on his foot this week as he continues to suffer with issues related to his diabetes. And we also received word Fred Earle, father of Morgan Strong, passed away on Friday. And so we'll be praying for his family. Please stand as we go to God's presence. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, your Son is the firstborn from the dead. In Him we have been reborn into the living hope. Nurture us with the pure milk of your word, that we may grow to maturity of faith and live everlasting lives, Lord, in your mercy. Grant to those ordained for your service the gift of the Spirit, wisdom that comes down from above, and grace to faithfully fulfill their holy calling where you place them. Bless all of our partners in mission and ministry, especially sister congregations in St. John's, Lutheran, and New England, and their homes. rejoice today with those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Janice, Bree, Holly, Kelly, Jackson, Reed, Brandy, Jane, Gavin, Cameron, and Steve. Bless them mightily and teach their family. We also give you thanks to those who are married, especially those who are celebrating special anniversaries, including my community brow honor. Bless them as they reflect your love to one another and to the point. Lord, in your mercy. You, O Lord, have instituted authority to carry out your justice. Bless all who wait, administer, and judge the law of our land. Give them wisdom, integrity, and honor to serve according to your good will. Watch over and protect those who serve you on the forces of our nation, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Kenny, Austin, Warren, Joyce, Daniel, Jalen, and Mark. Lord, in mercy. As your sons who brought gladness and peace to the troubled disciples, give your presence and comfort to the troubled in our midst, especially for all those who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Brother, Bueller, Bill, Charles. We lift before you Bobby and Tim, who are currently hospitalized. We give you thanks and praise for their endeavor as they recover from their surgeries. Pray you be with them. We also ask you to be with Charlie as he looks ahead to his upcoming surgery this week. Lord, we also lift before you those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Isaiah, Thomas, Joe, Tim, Marvin, Andy, Lorraine, Bonnie, Dean, Francis, Travis, Judy, Brett, Linda, Ricky, Roland, Judy, Laverne, Samantha, David, and all those who are facing cancer. Comfort also those who mourn, especially the family and friends of Grant Cole. Give to them the blessed joy of Easter morning. Lord, in your mercy. Father of the risen Christ, you give us the crucified and risen body and blood of our Lord in this holy supper. Let us taste that the Lord is good and continually grow up unto salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that out of your indescribable grace, for the sake of your Son, you have given us the holy gospel and instituted the blessed sacraments, that through them we may have comfort and the forgiveness of sins. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily believe your word, and through the holy sacraments establish our faith day by day, until at last we attain eternal salvation through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Dear Jesus, we just begin. At this time, we will invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord in tithes and offerings. Holy Father, the mighty and everlasting God, the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid him in our sins, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns through all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with the angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you. Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. By his death, he has redeemed us from bondage to sin and death, and by his resurrection, he has delivered us into new life in him. Grant us to keep the feast of sincerity and truth, faithfully eating his body given into death, drinking his life's blood poured out for our salvation, until we pass through death to the promised land of life eternal. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us, our Father, who art in Jesus Christ, at the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take here, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it. Lord, be with you always. this salutary gift, we give glory to you that of your mercy to strengthen us, reason, and faith toward you, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, and coming forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. no fool, because tomorrow there will be a week in a place. That makes it so we can't have school, I guess. So, just be aware of that. But tomorrow evening, sorry, but we will still have meeting rounds. So, stewardship, if you see elders of school, we're all meeting tomorrow evening. And coming up, we have our April quarterly meeting for the voters. That'll be on April 15th, so a week from tomorrow, 7 o'clock here in Section 2. Getting ready for that this week, we are going to have our agenda meeting this coming Tuesday. That will be at 7 o'clock over the 7th grade class. Wednesday night, women's Bible study resumes, and also mixed choir will be having their rehearsal as well. All I got is there anything else? Yes. Okay, those are Cardinals tickets. Right? So $25 for Cardinals tickets available at Christ our Bible Elementary School for Friday night, April 19th. Talk to any of our Christ our Bible students, or you can call them. Thank you. Anything else? Okay. Well, remember, hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Go in peace to serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us for church today.
Have a blessed week.